Welcome to Movie Chronicles with the Pal Bros. Now, I know there seems to be an endless spiral of bad stories coming from Hollywood, and we may see Hollywood as the dumpster fire that it is, but it is true, we still love movies. That being said, we desire the destruction and death of Hollywood, and the end of the reign of the evil and corrupt men and women telling these awful stories. We desire a rebirth of the film industry, through the telling of good stories that lead to Christ being glorified and one day reigning over the film industry. If you wish to support us in our mission, head over to patreon.com/thepowellbros or follow the link in the show notes. There you'll gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews by The Powell Bros. And now, on with the show. All right, welcome back to Movie Chronicles with The Powell Bros. We are here, as always, with another episode for you guys. We got a few different things to talk about. A little bit of news going on. And then we're going to dive into a very popular Christian show and just kind of give you guys our two cents on it. And yeah, just as always, just talk about the film industry and where it's got issues and where it has room for potential growth and where, film industry just needs to die and there needs to be a new Hollywood film industry Hollywood needs to die and the film industry needs to be taken over
That's not to say that like indie films are like always perfect and great and better than Hollywood. It's like, no, there's a lot of really bad indie films as well. Like,
right. Yeah.
There's some good Hollywood films. Like but for the most part, yes.
Yeah, it's not like we're saying that all movies,
something.
Yeah, not all, like not all movies just need to stop being made for a little while or anything like that. No, that's not what we're saying. We're saying the extremely woke, big, essentially monopoly corporations that are controlling Hollywood, those are what need to die. Mm-hmm. And things like Disney and whatever other big corporations like Disney are that are making movies, those are what need to get destroyed. And through that destruction, the indie films that are good and glorifying to God, Christian indie films and Christian productions that are well made and
should be birthed from the ashes of Hollywood.
Yeah, that will be what needs to come up through the ashes of Hollywood. And yeah, so we'll dive into some of that. And yeah, you and I were just kind of talking about Dwayne Johnson and just the goofball that he is.
Yeah. He's been, for those of you who don't know, he's been making a big comeback in the WWE arena. Mm-hmm. He stepped away from a while from wrestling. And because that's, you know, where he got his big name. That's where he was made famous. And then he went off to Hollywood and made a bunch of movies. Now he seems to be kind of stepping away from Hollywood. Because he was like, I don't know if you remember, he was putting out like 3 movies a year. Like, I remember there was like one after another. He was like in every film and like almost every franchise. Like, he was in DC as Black Adam. He was obviously in the Fast and Furious franchise. And he was making all these other, like Jumanji. And then he had that Rampage and Skyscraper and Jungle Cruise.
No, he was the highest paid, not the highest paid actor like per movie, but in overall he was getting paid per year more than any other actor.
Oh yeah, he was like also putting total, out a ridiculous amount of movies.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why he was is because he was putting out so many movies. He was in everything. And I think he kind of was stepping away because he sees like where the film industry is heading right now, and he sees that people are just sick of all the woke stuff, and he's probably worried that he's going to be in something that's going to just really hinder his image and his name.
I don't know if I'd give him that much credit, but sure.
Well, he's a very smart guy, and that's all he cares about is his image, and that's what he's...
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Like, that's what he is. He is his image of his brand, of what he created, of The Rock. Like, he is The Rock.
Yeah.
And,
well, yeah, you're right.
And so I think he's very smart. He's a very business-oriented man, and he knows like where he needs to step away and when he needs to step away. And I think he can see that he sees what the people are saying. Like, he knows. Mm-hmm. And he's always been very clear of, like, he does pay attention to what people are saying. And I think he does see that.
Sure. But,
and that's why he, like, I mean, this isn't film industry, but it's, like, he's said that he won't endorse Joe Biden this year because he's not happy about the state of America. And he's saying that because he knows that nobody likes what Joe Biden has done.
Yeah. And going back to kind of what you were saying, actually, because he's gotten back into WWE, the WWE audience is generally mostly conservative. Like, there's a lot of conservatives that enjoy wrestling. And so he's reading the room a little bit, and he's not going to come out and endorse Trump in any way. Like, that's definitely not going to happen.
No.
But he's, you know, maybe stepping away and realizing, okay, maybe Biden's not as hip as he used to be. just because he probably throws out his hip every other day.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I saw a recent video of Trump, and, like, Trump's not looking much that great either. Like, the election could be a bunch of just two old geezers arguing back and forth and not being able to put together coherent sentences. I mean Trump can, I guess he can kind of keep his mind on one track. Biden's all over the place. Anyways, not to get political here. Completely off track. The Rock. Yes. He's very business-minded, and he's smart, and he knows what he's doing. However, it's like, his movies also have not been really widely accepted. Like, I mean, his stuff with, like, The Fast and Furious was okay. I mean, The Fast and Furious franchise has also just kind of been made a joke out of anyway, even though people still spend a lot of money to go see it. I mean, like, they still make a lot of money.
Fast and Furious, that's actually a good example of what I was saying, is that he cares about his image, and he knows that everybody thought he was just such a sore loser for leaving the Fast and Furious franchise, and that's why he made up, quote, air quotes again, with Vin Diesel and came back, because he didn't want to have a bad image of people thinking that he can't get along with people.
Right.
I feel like he has no standards for himself other than what people say.
Right.
And all he wants is, he actually made a song about it. All he wants is power.
Oh my gosh. Why'd you bring that up again? Wait, it's about drive. It's about power. We say hunger. We devour.
I named our last one, but one of our movie chronicles. It's about power.
Oh.
Not because of that song, but every time I see that title, I think of the song. I'm like, dang, I should not have named it that.
That's funny. Anyways, bring up a... Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough about Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. Well, because, like, even Black Adam didn't succeed. I mean, that was also James Gunn's fault. But Black Adam didn't make any money, so you go back and forth. Like, his movies have not been widely accepted. Now he's going to do, like, live-action Moana. Wait, no. Is he doing live-action Moana?
Yeah. I don't know. They're doing live-action Moana. It's happening. They're filming it.
Dwayne Johnson. Like, is he...
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. Are you kidding me? You think he's going to let anybody else be Maui?
It just sounds kind of silly, but... Anyways.
Yeah. Got it. You can't find anybody bigger than him to play.
Right. Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. Yeah. Of course he's coming back to Moana. That makes sense. For Moana. Yeah.
You said you had something else.
The Joker Folia Doom.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Joker 2 trailer came out. I had to digest it a little bit, because I was like, I love the first Joker movie. I thought it was well done, good story. It's dark and gritty, and it's a hard story. It's not an easy one to watch or to work through, but I thought it was a good movie overall for what it was trying to accomplish, and I thought it was a good standalone. It's like, you don't need a sequel,
right?
But of course, it made $1 billion, and so of course they're gonna make a sequel.
Interesting, because it's Joaquin Phoenix's first sequel.
Is it really?
It's something he refused to do. He refused to do sequels.
Huh.
So it's
very interesting that he agreed to do this because, I mean, they must have offered him a huge amount of money to do it. Like, just an obscene amount. Oh, but
well, yeah, he's gonna bring home
the bag. He doesn't like sequels. He doesn't like sequels. Yeah. He doesn't like...
Right.
So he especially doesn't like being in
them. It's interesting. And... they're not titling this Joker 2. Like, there's a reason for that.
It's
It's gonna... Because, like, as I was watching it, I was like, this is gonna be, like, a standalone film. Like, it can stand on its own two legs without the first one.
Yeah.
For the most part. And so I'm like, okay, I can appreciate it for that. I can have an open mind about it. Like, I'm gonna see it. I think I'm mostly intrigued. Like, I'm really curious how they're gonna make a musical about the Joker. Like, it sounds ridiculous. It looks pretty stunning. Like, I think visually it looks awesome. I think the conflict, you know, well, not really conflict, but like the relationship between Joker and Harley could be interesting, and it looks like a lot of it's gonna be in Harley's head, but also Joker's head, and they're kind of going back and forth between like mental institution and like out in the real world, and like they're gonna play with all that, and like I don't know, like I don't know what to expect. I have very low expectations, except for the fact that the first one was really good. So I don't know. It's not like it didn't get me like, you know, excited and hoorahing about, you know, about Joker 2, but I'm curious. I'm not turned off by it. I'm not like, oh, I don't want to see this. Like, but I'm
right.
Let's see what they're going to do.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We didn't actually see anybody singing in it. Like, we saw Joker about to sing, but he never actually sang. I thought that was interesting, especially if it's going to be like a full-on musical. But we saw them kind of advertise like Wonka the same way, where it wasn't advertised as a musical. Mm. So everybody was just surprised when they go in. Wonka and something else that was... Oh, the Mean Girls reboot was a full-on musical. They didn't advertise that as a musical at all, but it was a full-on musical. But... I'm definitely interested. I mean, I love the first one, so I'm definitely interested in seeing this one and seeing what they do. But yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, I'm definitely gonna go see it. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say I disagree with you on the ending of the first Joker. I don't think any of it was in his head.
Well, no, I wasn't saying that it was. It just that was like they left it open as a theory, like that it could be that. I have no definite like choice. Like, yeah. I think it could be either one. That's all. Right. Like, I don't like. I mean, I can understand why you would say like, oh, it's definitely not in his head, or it's definitely in his head.
Right.
That's more long lines. And it seems like in this one, it looks like it kind of, they are playing off that theory because it also is going to be in either Harley Quinn's head or his head in this movie, or some of it at least, because they're like, even when they're dancing, like they had the scene where it switched, where they're like the Joker and Harley Quinn, and then they're in the mental institution as their normal self.
Yeah.
So that's all. I don't know. That's why I would say that. But.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it would be interesting.
I also say about it. I haven't watched it in a while, and that's one of my lists that I'm gonna watch pretty soon. Like, I need to see it again. So,
yeah, for sure.
I don't know anything else related to the news and Hollywood.
Nothing really exciting.
Nicolas Cage has a horror movie. Well, it's kind of like a Quiet Place type post-apocalyptic. Survival world with monsters. It's about him and his two sons, so it's like a father-son movie, and looks pretty based in my opinion. I mean really, they say like, what's the line in the trailer, like, we are men or something like that. It's like telling his boys that, and reminding his boys that. It's like, all right, I'll check this one out. So I'm gonna go see it tomorrow night, actually. They hadn't listed it in my theater the last like month or so, and I was hoping they would.
Yeah, what's it called?
I'm blanking. kind of a weird title.
Oh, okay.
I'll give me a second, but I don't know. I'm excited about it. I'll go see it tomorrow. I don't know anything about it. I haven't heard any reviews or anything about it, so I will be curious to see how it is.
Yeah.
Where'd it go? I can't find it.
Other than that, yeah, I just keep seeing everything about Kirsten Dunst and the whole pay gap, which is just a joke, but I mean, not literally. She actually said it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tobias, she's on the poster. Just turn around.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, she is on that cover.
Yeah. You anything else?
No. Just a lot of repeated stuff.
You want to talk about The Chosen?
Yeah, we can get into that.
Arcadian is the Nicolas Cage movie. Arcadian. So, anyways.
I don't know if I've even heard of it. I'll definitely look into it, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so The Chosen. It's a very popular show among Christians. It's got some controversies around it. A lot of people, most Christians accept it as a good show.
Mm-hmm.
There's, of course, a handful of people that don't, and they don't like it. Trent, what are your opinions of it? Have you watched any of it?
Nope. Never seen an episode.
I've watched, I think, the first 6 episodes, maybe.
Yeah.
I think I've seen the first 6. My first thoughts of why people love it so much, especially Christians, is because it is very well made.
It is a very well made show.
And I think this actually kind of correlates with why people love The Breaking Bad so much. The Breaking Bad is considered by the general audience, including many Christians. Like, I know a lot of Christians that say it's a great show, and I'm just kind of stunned by it.
Have you seen
I'm talking about Breaking Bad.
I know. Have you seen Breaking Bad?
Oh, I've seen a few episodes here and there, like just random ones. Okay. But it's well, you shouldn't watch the first one. Definitely don't watch it without filters. If it has filters. I don't know if you... I'm sure it has filters.
It should, yeah.
But, well, don't watch it at all. The story just is about a guy that essentially abandons his family and makes drugs and sells drugs. And in the end, he dies dealing with drugs alone.
It's like, a very nihilistic story. That is a
terrible story.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people love it so much because it's so well made.
Mm-hmm.
So I see why Christians love The Chosen so much, because it's so well made. And for Christian content, there's not a lot of Christian content that is extremely well made and telling good stories.
Right.
And so I see why people love The Chosen so much for that reason. In certain aspects, it stays true to the Bible. But that's where we get into the gray areas and some of the black areas. So I'll kind of turn it over to you, Trent. I feel like you'll better explain some of the issues with it in those areas. So if you want to...
I'm sorry, in what specific areas?
With it essentially telling the story of the Bible, but kind of adding on to the Bible.
So what they're doing,
the way they interpret the Bible and all that.
Right. Like, what they're doing is they're taking the story of Scripture and they are implying a lot of things or adding a lot of things. Like, obviously, if you went verse by verse and just made a TV show about the Gospels, you know, take Matthew's Gospel account and made, you know, scene by scene, verse by verse, like, retelling of the story, it wouldn't be very long and there'd be a lot left out. It wouldn't translate super well into film. I mean, it can. You probably could figure out a way to do it. But a TV show, you're like, okay, you're already now having to add a lot of details. You have now hours of content that you're needing to use in order to tell this story. Like, I think of the Nativity story is a movie about the Nativity of Christ. And it's a full feature-length film where they tell the story of Mary and Joseph. And
shout
Mary
out to Oscar Isaac.
Has Oscar Isaac, yes. That's my first, yeah, the first movie I ever saw of Oscar Isaac. And anyways, when I saw him in Star Wars, I was like, oh, it's Joseph. So, so like that movie in particular is an example where they have to include a lot of little details, like, you know, like they go a little more in depth in explain the scandal of a virgin or a supposed virgin becoming pregnant. Obviously, everyone around her and her family shuns her because she, virgins don't get pregnant. So there are little things like that. You have to add include details. And like for the most part, I don't think there's anything really wrong with that movie, I guess. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen it, and I don't. That's just an example I'm thinking of. So now take all of the gospel accounts, and then let's make a TV show. They're 4 seasons in. Now they're in 5 seasons. So, of course, like, to be fair, like I said, I've not seen it. I've heard a lot about it. I know a lot about it. Okay. Can you tell a good story from scripture while including things and applying things? I think so. There's just a lot of gray areas there, where you are now having to add things to scripture, especially if you're saying that this is, we're interpreting scripture in this way. This is a way that we interpret scripture. And so now they're having to interpret things in like character motivations and decisions and, even story arcs and so forth. You're having to add a lot, that is not found in scripture. And so
there's even characters in it that aren't even in scripture.
Well, yeah, of course you have to, for the most part, yeah. If you're going to create a whole TV show, you have to include new characters. Now, of course there's not 13 disciples or 14 disciples. Like I get like they say true yeah. in that sense. There's just a lot of it you are also watching a TV show that's telling you about scripture, and it's in a sense lying to you in that it's not actually what scripture says. And now I think the creators are fair and say like, this is an adaptation. This isn't necessarily an interpretation. I would say it's interpretation. But it's an adaptation. Like we're not inspired. This is not us saying this is what scripture says. But you're already trying to set off on an impossible quest when you're making a TV show like this. And I think it's really irreverent. I don't think humans characters should play Jesus anyway. but I feel like that's maybe a theological discussion. I don't know if this is where we want to go or not, but if we want to go there, we can. But for the most part, this is the Lord of the cosmos. This is Jesus Christ. This is the one who's died for the sins of his people, who was dead, buried, and risen from the dead, and ascended at the right hand of the Father, and is ruler and the judge of the heavens and the earth. And we're having a human person, a man play this character, and then we're also adding our own interpretation, our own understanding of who Jesus is and what decisions
a sinful he man, a sinful yeah. man playing a sinless man. And you can never have that worked out perfectly. Like, I guarantee if you analyze the show enough, you can probably see instances where the character of Jesus might actually sin. Like, I'm not saying that as a fact. I haven't analyzed the show well enough. But when you have a sinful man and sinful people writing a script, you're going to have it. Like, it just... something's going to sneak through the cracks. Yeah. And that's where you get into a big issue.
Yeah, the idea of it is just irreverent and dishonoring to the Lord. And that bring our own interpretation and understanding of who Jesus is and what decisions he would make, what character they're giving him a character story. And yeah. It's like, okay. I don't know how well they've done it. I don't know. I mean, everyone loves it and people are drawn to it. And it's probably the best adaptation of script of the gospel accounts that we've gotten in film. I, I guess. But I just still take issues with it. My biggest thing has always been like, why? Like, we have the Holy Word of God. Like, we don't need a mm-hmm. film to tell us who Jesus was and what he did and what he came to accomplish and how he accomplished yeah. it. It's like, read your Bibles. And also it paints a picture of Jesus that is not true. I mean, it is a version, a distortion of who Jesus really was. And now whenever you read scripture and whenever these Christians read scripture, they're thinking of the Jesus from The Chosen, just naturally. Like, you're going to, especially with a TV yeah. show, you're investing a lot of time into a TV show.
Oh yeah.
You're investing
watch a movie before you read a book, and read the book and tell me you don't think of that character when you're reading the totally. Book.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going to happen exactly. when you watch
even worse Chosen with a TV and then show read the Bible. You're even more invested yeah. in. You're more invested in a TV show than you are a movie.
Yeah.
And so it just distorts your understanding of scripture and your view of who Christ is. And I think it just creates more problems than anything. And it's just it's unnecessary. Is it a median? Mm-hmm. And it, like, have people been saved through the Chosen TV show? I believe it 100%. I believe the Lord can strike straight blows with a bent stick. That doesn't mean that we should always be waving around bent sticks. Mm-hmm. We need to be faithful with what the Lord's given us and use the tools that he's given us to the best of our ability. And storytelling is a tool. And I think there are better ways to go about telling stories that are good, beautiful, and true, and that honor the Lord and that point other people towards Christ. And I don't know, because you're pointing them to a Christ that isn't the Christ of scripture. Also, there's also the issue of, like, it seems like the creators are Mormon, and there's another issue there, though some have said that they're not. There are some that definitely are on the like producers that are and involved such.
In the project. Yeah,
yeah. So I think the writers aren't Mormon from what I've heard, but it's still a gray area. And I don't see why and what's the appeal of it and whatnot. So, yeah, that's where.
Yeah,
I guess that's where I'd stand.
Yeah, well, I think another issue that you get into is with when it becomes as popular as it has become, you get a lot of people that either don't read scripture every day or have never read scripture at all, and they're replacing The Chosen with their scripture time. And they watched an episode of The Chosen, like, oh, well, that'll do as my time in scripture. Like, I don't need to read the Bible today since I watched an episode of The Chosen. And I think that's absolutely, like, an issue that comes up with something like that, because, I mean, people tend to be lazy. It's just we just are, and that's where another issue definitely comes in. Is replacing The Chosen as people thinking, like, oh, The Chosen is a good enough substitute for my time in the Word.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I think it's like problem.
Yeah. I think there's a statistic of it. There's like a handful of percentages that people actually read their Bibles every day. Like Christians that go to church every day, that only like a couple percent or something mm-hmm. read their Bible every day.
Yeah.
And so like when you have that issue going on in the Christian world, and then you have this show that's becoming so popular, like, you know, that's a major issue that people are replacing The Chosen with time in scripture. Like, yeah. It just is. When you look at the percentages of people that are spending time in scripture every day, and then you have a show that's this huge in the Christian world, just look at the math. It's there. Like, people are. And then you get into the issue that you were saying, where you have, you know, this image of Christ through this show and not through the Word of God.
Yep. Pretty much.
That's
probably all I had to say about that.
Yeah, all right, well, I think that's we'll wrap up the or do you want to I don't know do you want to talk about how, like, before we wrap up, I don't know, like, how can we as Christians be making shows and stuff that, how can this be reprimanded,
like, related to The Chosen, and how do we
just the film industry, Christian film industry,
right?
And like, what should they have done instead of the Chosen or whatever.
Like, you know, what should they have done to invest all that money and so forth. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, you can tell stories about that convey similar messages as far as conveys the gospel and sacrifice and one willing to give their life up for another, which is the greatest act of love. And of course you can do that through many different ways and you don't have to do it through a perfect savior, but a flawed savior, that points to the perfect one. And there, you know, you create, types that point to the antitype, that point to who Jesus really is. And you can do that in a more impactful way, that lasts longer and that actually helps us realize our need for Christ, that even when someone's willing to give your life up to someone for you or give their life for another, it points us not just to, you know, the our need for a savior, but it points us to the savior. It's like, oh, there was one that did do that, but he did it perfectly. And in a way that we never could, or even that person that died for that other person or died for me could have, and so, or did. So, yeah, so like stories of sacrifice, like that's one big thing, but also just any story that we tell, like can have, it tells stories that God likes to tell. And it doesn't, you don't have to just recreate scripture in order to do that. You can do versions of scripture, like, you know, mm-hmm. Like Western movies. Western movies are basically the Book of Judges, but created in a different world and a different atmosphere, where you have this Lone Ranger who is an outcast who comes to judge or save a people who are being oppressed by another cowboy, you know, someone else that's taken over the town, and this Lone Ranger comes in and he drives them out of the town. You know, that's what the Judges did, in a sense. Sometimes and oftentimes they're Lone Ranger, they're rejected. But this cowboy is coming to judge the wicked men who have taken over this town, the city. You know, that's almost every Western movie. And that of course points us to the greater judge who did come to save people who were in bondage under the slavery of another. So things like that are ways that we can and should tell stories that are good, beautiful, and true. Like, even like we've talked about superhero movies point us to the true hero, and it shows us our need for a hero, a need for Christ. So yeah, there you go. So
yeah,
for sure. Anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, no, I was trying to think of like a movie, because like I have in my head a movie that does that like points, like not even a Christian movie, like almost a secular movie, I think that pointed to, is probably
made, oh, we by can get Catholic, another time we can get a discussion of like faith-based Christian films
and, oh yeah, yeah, films, for sure, like, but I was trying to think, yeah. Like there's a movie like in my head, like when you said that like where they actually like pointed to like they literally, not literally, but they pointed to Christ and mm-hmm. I remember it being impactful, but I don't remember the movie. And it was a good movie representing Christ but Jesus wasn't in it.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't even know what, yeah, I'm saying. I don't know what movie exists, or I'm just,
how many movies do,
yeah,
that?
Oh yeah, unintentionally. It happens. Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that it happens all the time, and I'm just, yeah, thinking, and I'm just like, it's just a collection of all those movies, right, in my head, but it's kind of late, so
because we are all we are image bearers of God, and as image bearers, we image Him. And the stories we tell, and the lives we live, but the stories we tell especially.
Mm-hmm. One good movie that does that is Batman versus Superman. That movie does it really well. Okay. And it came out on Easter.
It's not.
It had a lot of
good movie, but sure, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a pretty good movie. but it, discussion it, for it
the pointed time. To... And now we move on to our hot take segment.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry. It came out on Easter. Did it really come out on Easter?
Yep.
And then, of course, that little image of Superman dying.
Yeah, there's a lot of imagery of Superman being... Yep. And then at the very end of the movie, it showed that like dirt like kind of rose and that he rose again. But there was a scene that like kind of like it had crosses in the background, like through the wreckage, but it was three crosses and it kind of shone some light on they put like a spotlight on those crosses and with they're pulling Superman down. So it's just a very perfect representation of like, this is like a savior, but there's a real savior.
Yeah.
Although Zack Snyder is by no means a Christian and he makes very awful movies pretty often. And he very, very much sexualizes women and pretty much anything that's not DC that he's done. I'm pretty sure every movie
Even has a lot of his DC stuff.
So,
wait, is Watchmen DC?
Yeah. Well,
no, it's.
I don't think so. Wait,
no.
But everything that's not DC has nudity. I'm pretty sure all his movies, and then his DC movies. Oops, his DC movies very much sexualize women too. Yeah. So, he's got a lot of problems. But in that movie, he did it well.
Yeah.
Of representing like this is a Christ figure, but he's not the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
The Christ is real, and which is actually even good because I mean, like, Superman is like he's almost like a Christ figure, like, he's a
that's how he's
an invincible man, like,
he's comes from another world in a sense, he's a god like character, and he comes to save humanity. I mean,
That's the
purpose of
has a lot of character. Redeeming factors, whether you like it or not.
I haven't
watched it critically.
Disagree. I haven't watched it all either. The Ultimate Edition's is pretty good.
Oh, that's all I don't even count the other one.
Okay.
The 3-hour edition is the only one I count.
That's fair. Well, yeah. Okay. Anyways, before we leave, you want to do our hot take segment? Give me a number one between 1 and 4.
One.
Give me another number between 1 and 4.
4.
That was Star Wars. We did Star Wars last time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I guess I could do different ones. I don't know. 4. Lord of the Rings. Give me your hot take of the Lord of the Rings.
Hot take of Lord of the Rings. I guess
we're talking about films. This is Movie Chronicles. Let's talk about the movies. Yeah. And include the Hobbits. Yeah. I mean, you could say you love
okay, so, okay, the Hobbit. Yeah, yeah, no.
Because people don't like The Hobbit.
An Unexpected Journey is a really good film. Of the three Hobbits, the first one is the best by far.
I don't know if that's a hot take.
The reason...
They just blend together for me, and I don't...
Yeah.
I don't know.
The reason... I do like all three Hobbit films. I do like all three.
Oh. That's a hot take.
Yeah, it is. I know why they're hated so much. I understand why. But as films, and compared to a lot of the movies that come out nowadays, if you watch those films... What?
Sorry, I was just... Nothing. Go ahead. I just don't like the love triangle between Legolas, the dwarf, and the made-up character.
Yeah, Tariel. For movies, they are actually a lot better than a lot of the stuff we get nowadays. So they're still good films. Like if you took out if they weren't connected to Lord of the Rings, they didn't have books written about a book written about all three of them.
Yeah, what
book? If they weren't all three based on one little book? If you take all that out and just watch them as movies,
most part
they're good movies.
All right,
and they have their flaws. They have their flaws for sure. Mm-hmm. But as far as just things that we get nowadays, like. Even just stuff that exists already, they're pretty good. Mm-hmm. They're not. I don't think they're nearly as bad as everybody says they are.
I think
they talk about them. Yeah. I think they compare them to the sequel trilogy for Star Wars, and I just don't think they're that bad. Like I just don't like they're not nearly as bad as the sequel trilogy for Star Wars.
What
I think they're okay, well, that's a very solid.
Okay. Well, that's something we can argue about. Sorry, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I've seen the first one, the first Hobbit, probably twice, and the other two once. I was kind of indifferent towards them, and I'll go back and watch them someday, maybe. I can't
watch the extended editions too. I like the extended editions. I don't know a if lot
I've seen
more.
I think I saw the extended edition of Five Armies, so maybe I've seen it twice.
I think they're a lot better.
I'm
reading through The Hobbit. It's completely different than the mm-hmm. than the book, but yeah.
Well,
that's my hot take. Okay. They're not as bad as people say they are.
All right. I can't argue with you because I don't know. I just know they visually look kind of rough.
It's not a lot to talk about. I mean, I guess I could talk about the animated films, but I haven't seen those in a long time. I don't even think I've seen all three of them. I think I've only seen one of them.
I've seen all three, I think. Yeah, I remember seeing Return of the King. And I know I've saw it, so I must have seen the first two.
Well, there's The Hobbit, The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings, and then The Return of the King. Mm-hmm. Those are the three.
Oh, speaking of which, so Warner Bros. So CinemaCon is going on. It's a Comic Con.
Yeah.
In I think it's Las Vegas. The Warner Bros. Has been releasing a bunch of stuff. They released the logo for Superman.
I heard
that they might be releasing either a trailer or some concept art or some or official photos for the
new stills or something. Yeah,
Lord of the Rings movie coming out this year.
That'd be cool.
I don't know. I think I would assume it's the con still going on. So I don't know. I would hope so. Like I'm ready for it. I'm looking forward to getting something from that.
Yeah.
So my hot take. This one's a hard one. Okay. I have become
Lord of the Rings. I was just saying, yeah, there's not a lot to work with. There's only 9 movies if you include the animated ones.
Well, yeah.
And the show. I mean, if you say anything about the show, then
Lord of the Rings power is the best can't say ever.
About the show.
I'll take because no one likes it. I've become a Tolkien purist in a lot of ways, in that I love the Lord of the Rings books, and I don't think they were as well adapted as they could have been, which of course you could say, but like even to the extent like I think they got a lot of characters wrong. I think they got Frodo wrong. I think they definitely got Aragorn wrong. Aragorn is a completely different character from the movie to the book. He just is.
Hmm.
He's in the movies. He's a very reluctant. What they did is they gave Aragorn an arc. He doesn't have much of an arc in the books, but there's a reason for that. Is because he's like he's not a reluctant king. He's a confident king. He knows that he's king. He's waiting for the throne. He's ready for it. Hmm. He's just being patient and waiting. In the movies, he's kind of reluctant and like he's trying to discern like whether or not he wants to be king, or you know if he wants.
Right.
He has that struggle, which I get it. If you're adapting into a film, I'm not gonna complain in that sense. But I just don't think Aragorn was well from his character. I think they could have done better adapting him overall, as far as like making him or capturing the character that Tolkien created. But of course, the complaint would have been, oh, he has no arc. He has no story. But I think they still could have done it well, and he still has conflict in the book, and there's still a struggle.
I mean, you can still be confident, but have conflict. Right. Like that's not like it's just it's a lot of a lot of Peter Jackson's choices were very interesting and
which
definitely could have gone a better way.
And I think you and I are both saying that. I think it's a hot take that we say that because most people who maybe read the books or like aren't that like invested in the books would say, oh no, these movies are flawless and perfect and like 10 out of 10s. Well, and that's the issue. It's like the Lord of the Rings standing on their own without the books. Yeah, I could say they're pretty close to perfect.
Yeah.
I don't know. Elijah Wood. He's not my favorite actor, of course. I think he is a little whiny in the movies. The Frodo in the books is a lot more mature. He's also like 20 years older in the books than he is in the movie. So there's that. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I guess my hot take is that there are issues that I have in the movies that a lot of people don't have. And that's just because I know the books really well and I love the books and I would choose the books over the movies any day, but the movies are still pretty incredible, and they deserve the praise that they receive. There's also the question of like did they actually capture the world of Middle-earth well, or like the world that at least Tolkien wanted to create? Because we think of Middle-earth, when we think of Middle-earth, we think of the movies, because we've seen the movies and they're stunning and beautiful and awesome and great. But is that really the mm-hmm. Middle-earth that Tolkien created and wanted? And that's where I struggle with whether or not I could say that that's the case. However, I don't really know what differences I would have made exactly. So, anyways,
right.
That's my hot take.
So, all right. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we should probably wrap this up. Yeah, head over to Patreon. Yeah, head over to Patreon. We've got a show over there called the Powell Bros Mini Reviews, and we do mini reviews of movies that we've recently seen, or sometimes in theaters, sometimes just maybe if they've been out for a little while or something, and we connect those to our movie reviews, where we talk about the Stan Lee cameo and credit scene, and compare the IMDb rating to what we have rated it, and just see the difference. Just something interesting. And yeah, head over there and hear what we gotta say. And we appreciate you guys' support and you guys listening. And yeah.
Yes, thank you all.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.